Hello, everyone. Brian and Julian here. We're going into the update vault to play one of the many episodes from throughout the many years of this program. For today's episode, we go into the world of 2021, continuing the pandemic era of the program. 2021 was still a weird year. We were still finding out the mysteries about the coronavirus, and we were still out on the road in the middle of a pandemic, no less. But somehow, we find a way to just make the whole thing work. Oh, and one last thing about this episode. After the show aired, one of my former producers, who happened to be listening to the show at the time, called me up and actually invited me out to lunch. How about that?
Good afternoon from Tottenville Shore Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island. On the update this Tuesday, hours before night two of curfew starts, 3 hours earlier than it did yesterday, night one failed to prevent another night of widespread damage, including arrests after a break-in at the flagship Macy's store in Manhattan, following protests again over George Floyd's death. We'll have the latest details. Governor Cuomo says that we might be stumbling backwards. He's concerned that the mass protests could imperil the long, hard fight to contain the pandemic in a worldwide hotspot. He sounded frustrated about possibly compromising more than 2 months of social and economic sacrifices. We're remembering Basketball Hall of Famer Wes Unseld. He's died at the age of 74. Unseld, one of only two players in NBA history to win Rookie of the Year and MVP awards in the same season. And the president had a warning that he'll deploy the United States military to any state that refuses to take aggressive action against rioting. It rests under the Insurrection Act of 1807 to dispatch the military in states that are unable to put down an insurrection or are defying federal law. This is the update, Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Tuesday to you, Brandon Julian here, the host of the Update Podcast, exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop is Tottenville Shore Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island. Continuing our Staten Island series, Perf Amboy, our neighbors in New Jersey, is right across the river. This is also the very end of the line on the Staten Island Railway. Well, the Tottenville station is just, it's not too far from here, that's what I'm trying to say. We have a lot of news to get to this Tuesday, of course, including the latest coronavirus developments. We're going to begin, however, with the ongoing protests over the death of George Floyd. Night two of curfew is starting in New York City, 3 hours earlier than it did yesterday. The curfew is now at 8 o'clock. It was 11 o'clock yesterday. But regardless, night one of the curfew, it did very little to prevent destruction as groups of people smashed their way into shops, including the flagship Macy's store in Midtown, grabbed merchandise, and then fled. Police said that more than 200 people were arrested and several officers were injured during the chaos last night into early this morning. The violence followed another day of peaceful protests over the death of George Floyd. One officer was struck by a hit-and-run driver in the Bronx and was taken to a hospital in critical condition. An 8 o'clock curfew, as we said before, has been announced for this evening. It's not just tonight. It'll be through the rest of the week until Monday morning at 5 a.m. when the city is expected to enter phase one of the reopening. As we said before, the city has, for the first time since the days of Occupy Wall Street, they imposed a late-night curfew. But it failed to prevent another night of the widespread damage. The 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew that was announced is coming on top of the existing restrictions against public gatherings. But enough mayhem happened before the curfew took effect that the mayor tweeted that the curfew was moved up to 8 o'clock tonight. The destruction, of course, began after a big crowd rallied in Times Square and Brooklyn yesterday afternoon and marched peacefully through the streets for several hours. There are two Brooklyn attorneys that have been granted bail on federal charges in the firebombing of an NYPD vehicle amid the demonstrations over the weekend that were triggered by the police killing of George Floyd. But U.S. Magistrate Judge Stephen Gold yesterday ordered another woman detained in a separate firebombing that targeted four NYPD officers. Authorities describe the attacks as among the most brazen that the city saw during an eruption of violent demonstrations. The attorneys that were charged in the attacks were Colin Ford Mattis, a 32-year-old corporate attorney, and Arooj Rahman, a 31-year-old human rights lawyer. Out west in Buffalo, a vehicle there plowed through a group of law enforcement officers at a demonstration last night, injuring at least two. Video from the scene shows a vehicle accelerating through an intersection shortly after officers apparently tackle a protester on the street and handcuff him. Officers are seen scattering to avoid the SUV as it drives off on Buffalo's east side. Apparent gunshots were also heard. The officers were taken to Erie County Medical Center, and authorities say that they were in stable condition. In the state capital in Albany we go now, the governor is concerned that we might be slipping backwards in the midst of all these protests. We're still in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic. The governor said that he's concerned that the mass protests could imperil the long, hard fight to contain the pandemic and worldwide hotspot. The governor said that he agreed with the demonstrators fighting for racism and societal inequality, but he also sounded frustrated about possibly compromising more than 2 months of social and economic sacrifices. New York City, of course, is set to begin phasing in the economic activity on June 8th. Statewide hospitalization rates have been ticking down for weeks. The daily death toll has gone from almost 800 in early April to only 54 on Sunday. As the protests, of course, continue to grip the nation, officers have doused crowds with pepper spray, struck protesters with batons, steered police cars into throngs, and even shoved demonstrators. Some action has been directed against people smashing windows, breaking into stores, and burning cars, but many are finding other instances more difficult to understand. Like the elderly man that was knocked over by police as he walked with a cane on a Salt Lake City sidewalk. The protests began over the death of George Floyd while he was in the custody of Minneapolis police. And now, some are questioning whether the tough police tactics against the demonstrators are actually making the violence worse rather than quelling it. And over in Chicago, the message from protesters around the U.S., of course, is that George Floyd is the latest addition to a grim roster of African Americans to be killed by police. In demonstration after demonstration, protesters are carrying signs that include the names of other blacks whose lives have ended violently in encounters with police. They point out that Floyd is part of a larger story about police brutality and racism, that is deaf as a reminder of the dangers facing African Americans from California to Florida and from New York to Texas. There is other news of this Tuesday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Tuesday. In Washington, the Supreme Court is leaving in place a ruling that allows the trustee recovering money for investors in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme to pursue more than $4 billion that went to overseas investors. The High Court yesterday declined to personally get involved in the case. But an appeals court said that trustee Irving Picard could go after money that went through foreign investment funds back to foreign investors. A lower court had said that those transactions were beyond the reach of U.S. law. Madoff pleaded guilty, of course, back in 2009 to orchestrating the largest Ponzi scheme in history. He was sentenced to 150 years in prison. Picard has recovered approximately $14 billion of about $18 billion that investors put into Madoff's business. To the state capitol in Albany we go now, where the governor says that the state is approaching a level where fatalities from the virus are perhaps not eliminated, but are very few. He says there were 56 COVID-19 deaths in New York back on Saturday, and hospitalizations are still dipping overall. Officials say nearly 24,000 people in the state have been killed by the virus, but the true count is likely much higher. The state's figure doesn't include another 5,800 deaths that city officials are attributing to the virus in the city. Cuomo has devoted most of his briefing back on Sunday to discuss the ongoing protests against police brutality. And the Metropolitan Opera season is getting shorter, along with some of their shows. The Met says in the fallout from the pandemic, it's pushing back opening night by nearly 3.5 months to December 31st for the latest start in the company's 137-year history. The Met postponed 4 of next season's 5 new productions and plans 130 performances, its fewest since a 1980-1981 lockout. It also announced about $60 million in emergency gifts had balanced its 2019-2020 budget. Ada was to have opened the season on September 21st, starring Anna Netrebko. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Tuesday from Tottenville Shore Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island, we'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports and remember Basketball Hall of Famer Wes Unseld. He's died at the age of 74. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how a federal judge in Oklahoma has awarded ownership of the zoo made famous in Netflix's Tiger King docuseries to Joe Exotic's chief rival. We'll address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Pass it on. This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good? Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Sterling, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now's the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
From New York City, it's after 10 a.m. Do you know where your boyfriend is? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only, service on most lines will be running a frequency of at least every 10 to 30 minutes. Also, there's no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. As a reminder, the subways close every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and deep cleaning of trains and stations. For alternate service to get around during that time and ways to plan, visit mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Tuesday. And we're remembering Basketball Hall of Famer Wes Unseld. He's died at the age of 74. Unseld is one of only two players in NBA history to win Rookie of the Year and MVP awards in the same season. He died today after a series of health issues, most recently with pneumonia, according to a statement from his family that was released by the Washington Wizards. Unseld was a powerful 6'7", 245-pound center who dominated as a rebounder and led Washington's team, then known as the Bullets, to the 1978 NBA championship, earning finals MVP honors. He was a five-time All-Star who played all 13 of his NBA seasons with the franchise that drafted him in 1968. And over in Annapolis in Maryland, the college football season opener between Notre Dame and Navy has been moved out of Ireland because of the pandemic. The Fighting Irish and Midshipmen were scheduled to meet in Dublin on August 29th, but instead will seek to play at the Naval Academy during the Labor Day weekend. The decision to move the venue came after discussions between the Irish government, medical authorities, and the leadership teams at Navy and Notre Dame. Navy Athletic Director Chet Gladchuk says the decision to forego the overseas trip is to ensure the health and safety of the players, coaches, and also the fans. When we return on the update this Tuesday from Tottenville Shore Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island, we'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how the president's warning that he will deploy the U.S. military to any state that refuses to take aggressive action against the rioting, it's resting on a long-standing presidential power that gives wide latitude to the White House. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Tottenville Shore Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island. We're at the end of the line of the Staten Island Railway, Tottenville Station, not too far from here. We're also right across the river. From our neighbors in New Jersey over in the Perth Amboy section there. You can actually see the Harbor Terrace Apartments and their marina, the Perth Amboy Marina on the other side. I really have to wonder about if we can do a show from a boat. I'd love that. Do a show on a boat, wind in your hair. Oh, jeez, I'm getting joy just thinking about it. Let's address what happened on this day in history for this June the 2nd. The highlight of his day came in 1941 when baseball's Iron Horse, Lou Gehrig, died in New York from a degenerative disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. He was only 37. In 1886, President Grover Cleveland, Mayor age 49, married Frances Folsom, age 21, in the Blue Room of the White House. To date, Cleveland is the only president to marry in the Executive Mansion. In 1897, Mark Twain was quoted by the New York Journal as saying from London that, quote, "The report of my death was an exaggeration." Twain was responding to a report in the New York Herald that he was grievously ill and possibly dying. In 1924, Congress passed, and President Calvin Coolidge signed, a measure guaranteeing full American citizenship for all Native Americans born within U.S. territorial limits. In 1953, the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II took place in London's Westminster Abbey, 16 months after the death of her father, King George VI. In 1962, Soviet forces opened fire on striking workers in the Russian city of Novosherkassk. I didn't get that right at all. A retired general in 1989, but the death toll at 22 to 24. In 1966, the U.S. space probe Surveyor 1 landed on the moon and began transmitting detailed photographs of the lunar surface. In 1976, Arizona Republic investigative reporter Don Bowles was mortally wounded by a bomb planted underneath his car. He died 11 days later. Prosecutors believed Bowles was targeted because he had written stories that upset a liquor wholesaler. Three men were convicted of the killing. In 1979, Pope John Paul II arrived in his native Poland on the first visit by a pope to a communist country. In 1981, the Japanese video arcade game Donkey Kong was released by Nintendo. In 1995, a U.S. Air Force F-16C was shot down by a Bosnian Serb surface-to-air missile while on a NATO air patrol in northern Bosnia. The pilot, Captain Scott F. O'Grady, was rescued by U.S. Marines six days later. In 1997, Timothy McVeigh was convicted of murder and conspiracy in the 1995 bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City that killed 168 people. McVeigh was executed in June of 2001. And in 2009, Scott Rodere, an anti-abortion activist, was charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of late-term abortion provider Dr. George Tiller in Wichita, Kansas. Rodere was later convicted and sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole for 50 years. When we return on the update this Tuesday from Tottenville Shore Park in the Tottenville section, we'll address the latest national news, including how 9 states in the District of Columbia are voting. Today's elections will be the largest slate of presidential primaries in almost 3 months since Super Tuesday. We'll address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you, from PassItOn.com.
Pass it on. Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
From New York, where kids eat for free, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop all the way at the southern end of the island, Tottenville Shore Park in the Tottenville section. Continuing our Staten Island series. Let's address the latest national news on this Tuesday. And we'll begin out in Oklahoma, where a federal judge in Oklahoma has awarded ownership of the zoo made famous in Netflix's Tiger King docuseries to Joe Exotic's chief rival. U.S. District Judge Scott Polk yesterday granted control of the Oklahoma Zoo that was previously run by Joseph Maldonado Posich, also known as Joe Exotic, to Big Cat Rescue Corporation. The Florida group was founded by Carol Baskin, who also featured predominantly in the hit Netflix series. Maldonado Posich is currently serving a 22-year federal prison sentence for killing five tigers and plotting to have Baskin killed. In Washington, turning back to the George Floyd protests, the president is warning that he'll deploy the U.S. military to any state that refuses to take aggressive action against rioting, rests on a long-standing presidential power that gives wide latitude to the White House. That's according to legal experts who say that the president does indeed have the authority under the Insurrection Act of 1807 to dispatch the military in states that are unable to put down an insurrection or are defying federal law. Even so, the president's comments set up an immediate conflict with officials in some states who disputed that the president had unilateral authority to send in troops against their will. In Decision 2020, nine states in the District of Columbia are voting today. The elections will be the largest slate of presidential primaries in almost 3 months since Super Tuesday. Voters and campaigns alike will be asked to navigate coronavirus concerns and curfews in place amid the protests of George Floyd's killing. There's been a sharp increase in mail balloting as voting takes place from Maryland to Montana. Many political groups are focusing on Pennsylvania, which represents a high-profile test case for the November general election. Former Vice President Joe Biden needs to win 89% of all delegates at stake today to formally clinch the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. And finally, overseas in Paris, France, they're rolling out an official coronavirus contact tracing app. It's aimed at containing fresh outbreaks as the lockdown restrictions gradually ease. It's the first major European country to deploy the smartphone technology amid simmering debate over privacy fears. The French will be able to download the app starting today, the same day they'll once again be allowed to go to restaurants and cafes, parks and beaches, and museums and monuments. Neighbors, including the UK, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland, are developing their own apps, though they're using different technical protocols, raising questions about compatibility across Europe's borders. Our thought for today is from Elizabeth Bowen, an Irish author, born in 1899 and died in 1973. Our thought for today is, we are minor in everything but our passions. I'll let you guys ponder on that as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2020. That is the update on this Tuesday from Tottenville Shore Park in the Tottenville section. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. We're at Faber Park in the Elm Park section in the northern part of the island tomorrow, and I hope you can join me then.